we're having Art of Hearing God class. I get a name of it. That's going to be on the 29th of January on Monday. So I encourage you. And they said that's hands-on, so that's good. I'm going to share, not for long. I was proud of myself last week because I said I usually speak 40 minutes. I'm going to cut it in half, and I did 21. So it was like, yes, I did it. And I went and cut it in half. And I'm probably going to cut this one a little bit short, too. But I do have a few things that I want to share with you this morning. Kind of going into the new year, I was been encouraged by a few things that have happened recently with me. The Lord, you know, all of us need encouragement from time to time, do we not? And I'm no exception to that. But I was speaking with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and he's in ministry. He's been in ministry a long time, and you know, he's someone that really speaks into my life, and I allow that, and he's, you know, I honor him and respect him in that way. And he prays for me, he prays for my wife, prays for the church, and he was sharing with me some stuff while he was praying, and he actually took a trip, I don't know when it was, to Ephesus. I just finished speaking on Ephesians. I'm not going back to Ephesians, but I semi-am this morning. And he says he was praying, the Lord put something in his heart, and about, I don't know how many of you are familiar, you know, one thing Paul would do, if you look at his apostolic ministry, when he went different places, so in Corinth, he went to the house of justice, and he would stay there and minister. When he was in Philippi, I remember the businesswoman Lydia, seller of purple, he went to her house, and they set up shop there, and the gospel went all throughout. And Thessalonica, Jason, I think it was there, Jason's house, I believe that's where it was, and he would go to different places, and he would kind of set up shop. And if you, I'm always amazed, just little antidote, I know a guy back home, you can only have church in a house church, and you understand church history, churches didn't really pop up in buildings until after 70 AD, which was an important date because of the persecution, but whatever the case. In Ephesus, it was no different for Paul. And he set up shop, and if you can go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 8 through 10. I'm going to go there briefly, then I'm going to go someplace else. But one thing Paul did, and my friend shared with me, he said as I was praying, he said, the Lord put into my heart about, he said when I went to Ephesus, he said I was amazed that Paul went there with just a few guys, and that the gospel went out throughout the whole region, based on how that area was, and based out of a little school, the school of Tyrannus, that's where he set up shop. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. And Paul was there for a couple years. In verse 8, it says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some of them were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And so basically what happened, he tried going to the synagogue. He wasn't received. After 3 months, he said, I'm out of here. And there was a place he opened up, and he set up. But it was from that school of Tyrannus where it says, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And as I read this, I didn't quite know what to speak this week. And he said, sometimes that's just a good practice. Get up in the morning, and before you're supposed to get up and just pray in the Spirit if you can. Or if you don't pray in tongues, worship the Lord. And sometimes I do, the Lord just drops stuff. It's a school of Tyrannus. And I went to study it, and there's not much on it. But you can look, and it was basically the hours. They don't really know who this guy was. But he went there daily. And in the culture and the history of that time, they worked, I think, from 6 to 11. And from 11 to 4 was actually off hours for them. And so from 11 to 4, Paul would set up shop and scold Tyrannus and minister. And from that little place, I don't know how many were there. He took his disciples. If you look earlier, there's 12 guys who received the Holy Spirit in the first part of this chapter. So it wasn't many. I don't know who all went. But from that place where he went and set up shop and ministered and taught, the word of God spread throughout all of the region. Maybe it's just me. I find that encouraging, actually. From a little place, the Word of God. And it wasn't, you know, if you look, Paul didn't have a Twitter account or Facebook page. He didn't have a radio. So how did the Word get out from what happened there into all the region? People who came and hung out at the school of Tyrannus took the Word, took the kingdom, took everything out through the region, right?
Amen.
And so it wasn't Paul just on the radio, hey, bless God. No, this was a mobile thing. I started speaking on the Tabernacle of Moses recently, and I'm going to talk to them. It was a portable structure. It was moved. As the Lord would move, as the cloud of glory would move, the structure would move. They were portable. They were willing to move. Amen?
Amen.
And so that, at least for me, is encouraging. And as my friend was sharing this with me, that just because I'd kind of forgotten about it, just resonated with me. A school of Tyrannus. I've lived in four different states. My wife and I have. We've been married for 8 years. So you do the math. And I'll say this about where we are, where I live now compared to the other places I lived. This is how I'll phrase it. This place to me is brimming with potential. That's what I'll say. It's brimming with potential. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe this area, just speaking from my heart for a little bit, is really fertile ground for the expression of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. I believe that with all my heart, or I wouldn't still be here. I believe that. I believe that purpose of the heart of this church. And so my heart, in a lot of respects, just to speak openly and candidly with you, I didn't know I was going to share this morning or not. You know, my heart really is actually for this whole area, for the region, actually. It is. And my heart, one of the things that I wanted to pray for this morning and that it does me so good, I'm off track now, but it's just School of Tyrannus, a place where people came and hung out, heard the Word of God, fellowshiped with each other, grew from that. And I look even at this church and I say, man, there's so many. We have a guy, Kevin, prison ministry season, taking guys out to the prisons. What an awesome ministry that is. We have, Bill, I don't want to embarrass you, brother. I'm just going to honor you again. Getting, you know, Bill's been going out with the outreaches with Jim. Really, now he's coming out praying for guys and people in Panera and stuff, you know. We have those things when we go out. The Warm Center, man, we had someone give their heart to Jesus at the Warm Center. I was, yes, thank you, Jesus. That was the most awesome thing, you know. That's a ministry. And so our arm, from a small group here, our arm actually reaches out to a lot of different areas, and there's a lot of different opportunities. Amen?
Amen.
And so I hope this is resonating with someone, because I'm not. It's important to have a body and realize that we're called. The apostolic commission is to go and be sent. Amen?
Amen.
And I can come and fellowship and feel, but all of us are ministers of the gospel. In businesses, you know, you can be. There's a guy I'm familiar with, ministry. I love his ministry. And he has a Bible school, and part of his Bible school out in Oklahoma, it's for marketplace. And we don't often think of that. Businesses are ministries. You can have a business that operates on kingdom principles, on you know, I look at just the big ones I think of, like for me, Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, but different things. How do we operate? How do we spend our money? How do we do things? I can operate my business even. Let me say this, and I'm going to get into a parable that I read, a parable of the Lord. One of the things, the apostolic commission was to go, right? And so one of the things, to be sent, apostolos, to go, one of the things that, and it's important. I was listening to a theologian guy this week, and I loved his stuff, and it's important. I try to do this. When you read the scripture, look at context, okay? Because if you don't look at context, you can go in a lot of different areas that maybe the Lord didn't intend. And so I try to look, okay, who is this written to? How is it written? And even that, to be sent, one thing that they would get that from is in Rome, what they would do is they would send people into areas they invaded, and they would get, they invade the area, and they would send a delegation of business people, of artists, of musicians, and the whole thing they would do, they would go into the area, and they would infiltrate the area with the culture of Rome. And so, well, when you're reading Scripture, to be sent, that's what they're thinking, and with the air, with the influence of Rome. And so when the emperor would go to that area, they would say, man, it feels a lot like Rome here. Is this making sense to anybody at all? And so in the kingdom of God, what are we? I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, am I not? I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, right? Colossians tells us. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm no longer operating under the principles of the kingdom of darkness. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I give my heart to Him, and now I'm walking in the principles of the kingdom of God. And so the principle remains that Jesus gives us. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to be sent. What are we doing? I'm taking the principles and the, you know, there's, let me just, kind of all over the place. Let me share something else. I was reading this week and it stuck with me and kind of looked at it. A lot of times we get an idea in our mind of, you know, I want revival. And I can say amen to that, but you'll actually be kind of hard-pressed to find it in the Scriptures. What they did in Acts was normal Christianity. Amen? It was normal Christianity. We look at that. I look in Ephesus and we see here, it says in verse 11, God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. Category of unusual miracles. In verse 13, the exorcist wanted what Paul and these guys had. Like, just let that sink in. If this happened, you're like, man, that's good. That's normal Christianity that the Holy Spirit's recorded for us to see. This is how we should be operating and living. Amen? Myself include all of us. I love this. In verse, this is what happened there in Ephesus. Verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Could you imagine that happening here? Need some help. Andrea, give me an amen. It's true. Just listen, and they counted up the value of them in total 50,000 pieces of silver. It says in verse 20, the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. All from school of Tyrannus, filled up with the Spirit, doing all these things, and they're going out and living. A lot of times we look at revival like it's an event. I'm going to put a sign out there, we've got a guy coming for 2 weeks. It should be a lifestyle, amen? Amen. Watch many wrote the book, Normal Christian Life. It's a normal Christian living. You know, he'll say, raise the dead. I look at character issues, too. Do I act in love, or do I always react in anger or bitterness? Okay? You have to combine the spiritual and the character aspect, the nature and the ministry of Christ, the ministry He did, and the character of Christ as well. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And so there's just different things. I'm just going to go, if you turn with me, I read this last year, and I felt to do it again, in Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 27. I'm going to read this parable and share a few things about it real quick. It's Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 27. And it says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and they sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15, it says, and so it was, when they returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in very little, now you have authority over 10 cities. Verse 18, and it says, and the second came and said, Master, your minas earned 5 more. Likewise, he said to them, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, which I've kept away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has ten. But they said to him, Master, he already has ten minas. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given. To him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here the enemies of mine who do not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. I'll give you the context before. This was on Jesus's, if you look even in Luke, it's right before the triumphal entry, right before he went to the cross, shortly before that. And so at that time, you know, the disciples were still expecting a physical, you know, political kingdom. And Jesus did something, you know, the tendency for that, you remember they were jockeying for position, who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus tells them to do business until I come. Occupy and do business. If I have a wad of money, he tells me to invest it. He gave them all. This is different from the parable of the talents. In the parable of the talents, they were given different talents, and we all have different graces on our life for different areas and different things. But there's an area where, as believers in Jesus, we all have the same Spirit of God living within all of us, do we not? You know, the Holy Spirit in me is not a different one from the one that's in Jim, and a different one from the one in Sharon. It's the same Holy Spirit. And so, as I confess faith in Christ, He's Lord of my life, I have this thing in me, I have the Holy Spirit within me. And while we all have different missions and different graces for different callings and ministries, we all actually have the same ultimate calling. Go into all the world, right? Amen. To demonstrate the character and the nature of Jesus. And there's a picture here. He gives it to three guys. Two of them invest, and he gives them more. One of them doesn't. What you have will be taken away. Here's what I want to share about that. And kind of going into the new year, there's a quote. A quote from Bill Johnson. Let me just read it real quick. And he says, sometimes we look for the one touch that changes everything instead of the introduction to the process that changes everything. I love that. I'm going to read it again. Sometimes we look for the one touch that changes everything instead of the introduction to the process that changes everything. Lord, we want a great city. We want this. Lord, I want a forest full of trees. And he gives you a seed. Came God's like a mustard seed. He said, well, no, Lord, I don't want the seed. I'm called to have a big forest over here. And the Lord said, here's your mina. I'm giving you the same I gave to him. Here's your seed. Well, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm getting all the different reasons for that, which I'm not going to. I'm going to sit on it. You, in the kingdom of God, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, but there's a principle of use it, lose it. In other words, if the Lord gives you a commission or a mantle or something, and you just sit on it, it's not that the Lord just takes that away from you, but think of all the years of fruitfulness we waste. And so the Lord, I want all this over here, and he gives you one seed. And we can look at the one seed that's so small. And Lord, I know you've called me to all this. The Lord expects you to take that seed and go do business with it until he comes. To further the kingdom until he comes. Go out and do the apostolic commission until he comes. I can sit on it for whatever reasons that I might have. Or I can take it and invest it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now give your ruler over many. If you want the big forest, you have to be faithful with the little seed. Amen? If I want the whole tropical rainforest and the Lord gives me a seed, I am to invest that seed and press into that seed. If I'm called to 100 people and God's put two in front of you, focus on that two. I think it was Heidi Baker who said when she was in Mozambique, she said, just focus on the one person. Just on the one. Lord, let's make believe thing. Lord's put Jim in my life. I'm just going to focus on the one. Let me tell you a story, because this is my life, and I'm not perfect with it. But one thing, as a minister, I'm accountable to be also an example. And so this is just... I remember when we were living in Virginia, and... I knew that I'm called to ministry in this way or that way, and nothing would happen, banging my head against the wall, this and that. And I remember as Andrea said, just go to the nursing home or something. So I'll go to the nursing home. And I remember I met this Jerry Johnson, Concourse Ministries there in Norfolk, Virginia. And he's basically a good man. He's basically does services all throughout nursing homes. It's a ministry. And we met, and he was like, this is a calling, you know, and you have to be called. And I said, you know, let me say this, and you might not agree with me, I don't care. I'm not necessarily called to nursing home ministry, but I'm called to minister. Okay? And I went, and I remember I was going to go. I went to, it was Beth Shalom. It was a chore. If you don't know the area, I went from Chesapeake to Virginia Beach, and then the trip home was 45 minutes. It was a long day. And I was going to go and do services. It was a Jewish nursing home, so they were very, very, very cautious with followers of Jesus. And so it was just, you're going to visit. If the person is not a believer, don't talk to them about Jesus. And I went in there and I honored what they did. And really, long story short, I ended up going there for one person, Bob Schabel. And he was a believer. And I'm going to tell you, he opened up to me. It was just this thing. And I got to, it's like, Lord, I'm called to something else. I'm called to this. I'm called to that. And the Lord gave me one little seed there in that nursing home. Bob Schabel was his name. In Virginia Beach. The one seed. And I'm not perfect in any way. I'm not perfect with this. But I was faithful for that one little seed that was there. And I was going to do services, and I didn't get to do. They actually called me when I'd already moved up here. And I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. I could care less. I'm not called to nursing home ministry, but I'm called to minister. There's one guy there. I'm going to be faithful and pour into this man. Spend time with him. Love him. Get to know him. Be a blessing to him. That's a picture of what this parable is. It wasn't long after that I got called up here. And there's other areas too. I want all this, God. Be faithful. Start in the warm center. Start in the prisons, you know. Maybe there's one person in the prison that's there, off to the side. Kevin needs to get to, and that's the one person. And sow your seed there, and it will multiply. If you want more, it's in the kingdom of God. If you want more to do, if you're faithful to do what God gives you, He gives you more to do. Amen?
Amen.
Faithful here, He'll give you more. You're faithful with little, I'm going to entrust you with more. Do this. I always be faithful in the little things, whether you're called to it or not. Because all of us are called to minister. Amen? And if I take that approach and I take that heart and I go out every day is a day where it might be one person in my business, one person in the store, one person I work with, and it's the one mina. And maybe it's even, you know, I don't feel comfortable doing this or that. Maybe it's just being someone who loves someone who's never felt love before. Do you know you can go to someone? We had a run-in with a guy at the Pawcatuck Neighborhood Center. We drop in. By the way, we have a basket downstairs. If you have leftover foods, we take it there to the Pawcatuck Neighborhood Center. You can throw people for a loop and feel it just by loving them the way Jesus loves them. Do you know that?
Amen.
And just change the atmosphere of the place. And you plant seeds. The guy that gave his heart to Jesus the other night at the Warm Center, I was talking to Bill, that man was fertile ground. I can guarantee you there's been some seeds sown in him over the years. I promise you. And you never know when someone is ripe. Just be a follower of Jesus to people. Okay? Let me wrap up. I went through that. There's a guy, he's no longer with us. I think it's Peter Drucker or Philip Drucker, I don't know. And he was a business guy, business consultant, whatever. But he has a quote I love. And it was culture eats strategy for breakfast. I think that's pretty neat. I like that. And it's true. I can have the best strategies in the world, but I have to develop a culture to handle that. and your culture develops what you do. Okay? Going into this new year, and it's what I feel, you know, I say this, the kingdom of God is his purpose, and the local church is his instrument. He uses groups of people. He uses different bodies and areas to impact, just like the school of Tyrannus, a little place, I don't know how many people were there, rented out facility, and from there it said, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. I like that. All of those who dwelt in Asia meant by extension, all of those who would go and hang out there would go out, and so that eventually all of Asia heard the word of the Lord and the word spread. Amen? My heart is, it's, and I hope someone's getting something out of something I'm saying, is to ultimately be a church's ascending place. And it doesn't mean you have to, you know, be a prison minister. It doesn't mean you have to reach out to the guys in the borough like these Jim and Lisa do. It doesn't mean any, it doesn't mean you have to. But it means every place I go, I'm under the awareness that the Spirit of God lives in me. I'm a son or I'm a daughter of Christ, a son or daughter of the King. And I am sent to this area. I'm sent to this job. I'm sent to every place that I am. And it becomes a mindset and becomes a culture. This is who we are. This is what I am. And I believe in my heart, God uses groups. He uses bodies. My heart is to see this area. Just like, was it in Thessalonica? It said, those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. You remember that? In Acts 7, I think it's Acts 17. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Not just Paul on the microphone, but everyone that was there went and took it out. Amen? And so one thing I had, just a minute. One thing I have, I'm going to kind of, a New Year's resolution. Change culture just like they did in Rome. And they would take their emissaries and they would go in and establish the culture of Rome into the place they overdid. That I establish the culture, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, into places where it's fear and darkness and despair. And I take it and I can do at least one place. New Year's resolution. At least one place. Maybe it's my marriage. Maybe it's a family thing. But I take it and I say, Lord, the kingdom of God operates this way. You've called me to this place. And they're not operating in their own kingdom of God. There's fear and despair here. Perfect love casts out fear. God, you've called me to a place where there's such fear. I'm to bring hope and light and love. If it's just one place, amen, just one place, and I can say, I'm going to flip through Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember, Christ in, it's plural, Christ in you all. It's a body work. Christ in you all, the hope of glory. And he takes you to this one place and he spreads it out throughout. Amen? New Year's resolution. Amen. I'm done. Lisa had something she wanted to share.
Well, I just wanted to add, not to take away from what you're saying, but you're preaching our ministry here, and it says that we, you know, we're called.